flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Take us with you in the Odyssey app. It is Sam and Greg on this first day of February. It's a Saturday morning. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
And a good morning, y'all, up north there on north side of town in Duluth.
All right.
All you first responders and teachers and everybody that's working for helping other folks. Something like that. Hey, Sam, I want to remind you also, if you can't get in front of a TV, we got Hawks at Indiana today. Pre-game is at 4:30, tip at 5 o'clock. Same with tomorrow. We will have college basketball for you. Ohio State at Illinois. Pre-game at 12:45, tip at 1 o'clock. So there you go. Monday, Hawks at Detroit. We got you covered, Hawks at Detroit. We got you Hawks versus San Antonio. Have you seen Wembley yet out at any kind of basketball event? I know, you know, these guys are playing them, but I mean, did you see him last year? Just the size of this dude.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness. And can do everything. Can do it all. Yep. It's remarkable.
I'm wondering who was the person who, because the other person I'm thinking of it is Cam Newton. Is the one athlete who they say generally surprises pretty much everybody when they see him up close, not realizing how big he is.
Yep.
And playing quarterback.
Yep. Well, he didn't surprise me. I saw him in high school. He's always been big.
He wasn't that big.
He was bigger than the lineman. He was bigger than the guy surrounding him. He was,
what? Yes, in high school?
In high school. He was bigger than the line that was blocking for him.
That's crazy.
He's always been that.
So I was wondering if Wembley was another one who made, you know, you open your mouth and go, wow, man.
Yeah.
You know. Anyway, let's see. We're going to talk a little NASCAR here. Well,
yeah.
I'll give you the insignificant information next segment because we got Jason Longshore coming up then. But it's just a couple guys retired on this day that had the same job. That names are up at the stadium. Believe
okay.
it or not.
Okay.
The same day, Curly Lambeau and Vince Lombardi. Both retired from the Packers on this day. Not the same date.
Not the same date, but the same day.
But the same day,
okay.
February 1st.
One's got a stadium, the other got a trophy.
Yeah, that's right. So, and then they talk about the significance and the importance of him doing a three-peat. What them dudes did, forget about it. Plus, you can put somebody in the hospital when you were playing football back then and wouldn't get a penalty cost.
Yep.
Jeez.
A little different now.
Yeah, a little bit. Anyway. So NASCAR, listen, Winston-Salem, man.
Winston-Salem. Man, Winston-Salem, they haven't raced at Winston-Salem, the cup-level cars, last raced there in 1971. They are going to a place that the backstories are going to be, because once again, you're in that part of North Carolina. It goes back to the roots, goes back to the moonshine runners and all that type thing when they first started, decided to organize. You know, this particular track they're going to race on, of course, the Clash has been out in L.A. the last 3 years, got rained out, and weather was terrible out in Los Angeles last year. And they're hoping to avoid some rain. There's been some rain up in North Carolina. They're hoping it will blow out and won't affect the racing this weekend, the qualifying and races, and then the big race tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. Bowman Gray Stadium has hosted a lot of things. I think it opened back in the 1930s. I was reading up some on it this week. Quarter-mile track. It's a short track. Kind of narrow. Now, they're going to fit these cars on. They race modifieds there lately. They are some late-model stock, but they haven't raced this level. Now, Richard Petty is one on this track. You know, Bobby Allison, you're going back in the day, some of those drivers who won on this track back in the day. Remember, they haven't, the cup level cars have not driven there since 71, but they've continued to have racing. When I was living and working up in North Carolina, they would have racing out there during the summer. And then the fall, the infield is grass. Winston-Salem State plays their football games there. So they basically having a NASCAR race at an HBCU football stadium.
Yeah.
You know, and they're sprucing the stadium up, doing some things, bringing in new lights, which will stay when Winston-Salem State starts their football schedule. Wake Forest played there until they built their own campus stadium in 1968. So the Wake Forest played there. This is, 68. So this is where Wake Forest played when Brian Piccolo was on the team. They played at Bowman Gray. They hadn't built the place on campus yet. So there's a lot of history with this place where they're going to have this NASCAR race tomorrow. They did the inspections with the cars in Charlotte, and then they drove them up to Winston-Salem because there's not a whole lot of room. It's pretty tight. As I remember it, it's pretty tight around that track. But they look to race there tomorrow. And you never know with this race because it's not for points. Mm-hmm. Everybody, to me, in the back of everybody's mind, they're going to go out and compete. But Daytona's in the back of everybody's mind.
I was just going to say, the Super Bowl.
Daytona's in the back because you want to go and you want to show. You know, you want to show these race teams who's going to be good. Will the Penske teams be good again with Joey Logano? Joey Logano's the kind of character, he may go out and win this thing tomorrow night. He's just that kind of driver that could be there and could win on any type of configuration. But, you know, you watch for someone like him. In that, and then some of the new faces on some of the teams that come out. But then again, this is a new year for NASCAR. NASCAR is going to be on several different platforms.
Yeah.
Adam Alexander, our friend, is going to join us tomorrow morning, and you got to find out when.
He'll be wearing a different hat.
We'll find out when to look for him. Of course, this race this weekend will be on Fox. This year, he's working on three different platforms. He's going to be on Prime. He's going to be on Prime each week. He will be on for qualifying and practice. That's mostly going to be Fridays or Saturdays. He's going to do the Xfinity series on CW. Okay, that's where all the Xfinity series races are going. Those are the Saturday races. He's going to do them. They're going to do something unique this year. They're going back to Winston-Salem for the Clash. They're going to go back to Rockingham for the Xfinity series race. They haven't raced there since maybe 2000 or something. They haven't raced at Rockingham in a long time. And so they're going to go back there for the Xfinity race, not the Cup race, but and then mid-season when Turner comes in for the in-season tournament,
right, which starts here,
right, which starts here at Atlanta Motor Speedway, he will be a part of that. So
he's a bounce around. He's like a free agent.
We're gonna have some fun with him tomorrow.
Yeah, we will. Okay, I got two questions for Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Thank you for letting us be a part of your Saturday mornings here. This track described. If you can't wrap your mind around it visually, which I can't, compare it to Bristol.
It has no banking. It's more like Martinsville.
Oh, okay.
More like Martinsville. It's flat.
Okay.
Bristol's, yeah. It's a bowl. This place is flat. And so it will set up kind of like L.A. L.A. was flat. Didn't have
any
banking.
That was the other thing I was going to mention. Boy, the timing of this was incredible because they probably wouldn't have been able to hold that at the Coliseum this year.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just saying. I mean, the first responders, they're kind of busy right now. That was the one thing I learned from this and the connection with sports. You have to have so many official personnel at an event, college or professional, and they were not around. You know, all the first responders, all the people who do what they do when various situations break out, kind of come together. They have a handful of this, handful of those folks, whatever, at games. But when this happened, they couldn't be outed, you know, the playoff games and all of that.
We saw that. We saw that a couple of weeks ago with the national championship game. We had, like, sheriff's departments or police departments from around the metro area that were taking part of the security and for that particular event. So we saw that here in Atlanta a couple of weeks ago.
It would have been tough to have that thing happen this week. Mm-hmm. The other thing, something that you said, and I just wonder, because we always talk about this, and young folks knowing their history or not, do you think there's a greater percentage or less percentage of people who knew the name Brian Piccolo when you said it?
Probably not many.
Noel, did you know who he was, what he was talking about when he said Brian Piccolo?
You got to be a certain age.
Yeah.
Okay, so then she knew.
Okay.
And she's young.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
I'm a weirdo, though. I'm an outlier.
Quit calling yourself that. Yes. No.
But some people have seen the movie Brian Song.
Brian Piccolo.
I've seen both.
Okay.
He was the fullback, if you will, for Gale Sayers.
With the Bears.
For the Bears, and died of cancer, and they made the movie starring James Caan and Billy Dee Williams called Brian Song. And it was the first movie that gave men the excuse to cry. And you could admit it. That was like the first movie that men said they cried it, and they admitted it openly because of the speech Brian Piccolo gave. Billy Dee Williams gave at the end when he was accepting the award and talked about Brian Piccolo, and men lost it. Now, they lose it in other stuff, but this was the first one where they openly said, I cried at that movie.
Yeah.
But it's a great – and they had Abe Gibron was in that movie. He was coach.
Okay.
He was one of the coaches. I remember that, you know, growing up in Chicago. Abe Gibron was in that movie. It's one of the special. But I was wondering if folks knew that. And you mentioned Richard Petty.
Yeah.
Today was the day – He drove his first Ford in the race. He switched to Fords in 1969, and today was his first race. It was at the Motor Trend 500 at Riverdale, California. Previous 92 NASCAR victories were in Plymouths.
In Plymouths. You know,
is 92 victories.
92 victories.
He still went on to win a what? 100 and 208.
200.
Well, this would be a 92. If he won another 108, that would equal
200. As a matter of fact, his 100th win was at Bowman Gray Stadium.
Was it really?
Which is where they're racing this weekend.
Welcome to the club. Insignificant information from Sam. There you go. We got T-shirts.
They call it the Madhouse, and today they're going to be doing, they got some racing. They're going to be doing that today, practicing, qualifying for Bowman Gray for the Cup, practicing, qualifying for the Modified. The Modifieds will have their race today, and then, of course, some heat races tomorrow. The heat races tomorrow start at 1 o'clock tomorrow, and then they have practice and then going down until they get ready to have the clash tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. Yeah, and so we'll talk with Adam Alexander will join us tomorrow morning for the first time this season. Adam will join us.
He's got to have a certain kind of just mental comfort right now, you know, because it was, you know, his contract was ending last season, wasn't sure where he was going, and now that everything's taking place and he gets to bounce around in a way that he didn't before.
But you can't, that's kind of what the fans are going to have to do. The viewers are going to have to do that in order to consume. You're going to have to do that. I mean, I text you a little screenshot of where everything's going to be.
Oh, it's all over the place.
Yeah. Right. You know,
welcome to the new world of watching television. That's fine with me.
There you go.
All right. Coming up next, we're going to learn and find out everything we need to know about Atlanta United with our own Jason Longshore. That is next. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Take us with you on the Odyssey app.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep. Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of Season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
He's got his own walk-on music. It is Sam and Greg on this Saturday morning, first day of February. And listen, the news, we started the show talking about it. In fact, we got a little feature out of it, which Jason might enjoy. We should ask him that question first as we talk about Atlanta United and Miggy coming back. And
yeah.
Sam, we were out there earlier. Jason, I don't know if you're listening. How many athletes can you think of that played sports in once, well, here in Atlanta? That played here, left, and then came back.
Yeah, but we kicked this around a little bit yesterday, Jason. Mm-hmm. I don't know if any more had come to mind for you.
Oh, okay. You can tell me that.
No, like, that's the thing. This is such a unique situation across sports, and this is what I love about Atlanta, and this is what I love about where soccer is in Atlanta. You have this conversation across the board. Like, in other cities, even cities that have nice soccer scenes, it's almost in its own world, and there's not this kind of interaction. We're sitting here talking, and Sam and I were having this conversation yesterday. You know, like, Tom Glavine played and then went away and then came back, but he was at the very end of his career. You know, there's been a couple of other guys that have done something like that.
I mentioned with Phil Niekro, but one that came back Phil to play Niekro, with Kevin Willis. I did that with the Hawks.
Good shout. Yeah, Kevin Willis was one that we didn't think of yesterday, that yeah. He came back and had a little bit more to give than like Niekro and Glavine did. But what Miggy's done is it's so interesting because, you know, he's on the other side of 30, but not by much. He's, you know, maybe on the downside of his prime. You know, it's always hard to tell and put that number on it in the middle of it. Maybe after his career's done, we'll find that point. But he's got a lot to give. He's got a lot of time that he can give to this club and be a superstar again in this city.
So,
and I think you saw what he means to the city with the reception at the airport. He talked about it a lot yesterday.
Wow.
You know, it was huge. We don't see that when somebody signs for the Falcons or the Braves or the Hawks. You don't see that kind of reaction. And I think it says how special he is to the city.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com with Jason Longshore. So my question is this, for those who maybe just got here, they weren't around for the championship year, and what does this mean? I guess we can look at this like a major acquisition by the team. What does his presence mean moving forward with as far as how this team is going to play heading into next season, if differently than last
year?
Yeah,
absolutely. It's absolutely a major acquisition, and you know, when you talk about Miguel Almirón and what he gives this team, he's one of the more unique players that I've seen in my time following this sport, because, you know, he's not a like wildly vocal player. You're not going to hear a ton from him, although he has been working on his English, and I think his understanding of English is pretty good. His confidence to speak it is slowly getting there. And that's maybe what struck me yesterday more than anything in the press conference, is just how much more confident he was in his own skin than when he was last time, when he was here last time. You know, he's played in the biggest league in the world. He's got a ton of experience. He's older. He's, you know, got a child now. I ask him about that and how that's kind of helped give him a different perspective. He is such a unique player in the sense that his explosiveness is off the charts. The only player I can think of that I remember seeing have the extra gear. You know, you see guys get to top speed and they're flying past people. There's only a handful that when they're at top speed, somehow it seems like they find another level. Michael Vick had that. You know, Michael Vick, you'd think you had him, and then he'd find another gear and step between you, and defenders are running into each other looking like fools. Almirón's done that too. He's got that. He's just electric. And for somebody who's not wildly vocal and talking all the time, he has such a magnetic personality as well because of how hard he works for the team. You know, he won Newcastle fans over very, very quickly with just how hard he worked for the group. Everybody in the locker room loves him. Coaches love him because they know they're constantly going to get that full 100% effort out of him.
Hmm. My thing is that going to be utilized in a way by this manager versus the other one?
100%. I mean, you're talking about, I think he might utilize him a little differently in terms of positioning. You know, Tata Martino played him centrally, typically underneath the striker. I think in this situation, you've got a lot of fluidity with Saba, who can play on either side, with Alexi Maranchuk, who can play centrally or wide, and now Almiron, who can play centrally or on either side. So that front three underneath the striker, it can be somewhat interchangeable, which is fascinating for Ronnie Dyla as to, you know, does he use that? Does he say, you know, hey, I've got, for example, I'm playing a team with a slow central midfielder. I want my fastest guy there to run that, put Almiron central this time and play Maranchuk wide. You know, do you want to picket players? Like if there's a slow fullback, do you want to put Almiron on that side and have him run at him? You could see things like that. But the way that Dyla came to play, he wants them to get into the attacking half quickly. He wants them to get vertical at times. Almiron can flip the field so quickly with that pace. And with guys like Saba and Maranchuk around, everybody gets better with Miguel Almiron's addition to this team.
Spending time on the wave line. Always great to catch up with this guy, Jason Longshore. And he is social. You can all find him at Longshore. I'm going to ask you this. You know, people are getting excited. We're hearing a lot of things that we like. Is it too early to start printing home field postseason tickets? Because you know what we have to finish at the end of the season in order to get home field matches.
And it's a long season, too. You know, we've been here before where everything looked great on paper and then injuries happen or just whatever other chaos could possibly happen. It's just the nature of it. The expectation, though, yeah, absolutely. You got to get the number 9 position nailed down, and it's not yet, and it's complicated, and it's probably going to stay complicated for the next maybe week, hopefully not quite that long. Emmanuel is only the target for the number 9 position, but it hasn't gotten done yet. And there's conflicting reports depending on if you're in Italy, where his agent is based, if you're in England, where his current club, Middlesbrough, is based, the U.S. with reporters trying to decipher everything. It's I don't know where it stands exactly. I know they want to get it done. They want to get it done quickly, but it's not done yet. When that's done, I think we can really have more of the conversation about the true expectations for this group. But if you get a starting level number 9, this team should be expected to contend for trophies in 2025, no question.
Tell you what, later today, going to action down the road at Birmingham Legion. Thoughts about what we may see this week compared to what happened last week in the first preseason friendly?
Yeah, they'll be fitter. They'll be sharper. I think they'll be a little more locked into what Ronnie Dyla wants to see from them. You know, if I look at what I've seen in training over the past couple weeks versus how the game in Chattanooga played out, I didn't see as much of the intense pressure defensively to win the ball back, especially higher up the field, and probably due to fitness. You know, you were just a week and a half or so into training. Fitness takes time to build up. You know, if you're not quite there, it's a little bit harder to press intensely for 45 minutes like it was last time. I'll be curious to see how long players play. Is it 45 again? Is it a little bit more than that for some guys? I just want to see a little more sharpness, a little more decisiveness, quicker decisions being made, and more intensity to win the ball back. I think that's one of the key elements for Ronnie Dyla and what he wants his team to look like. They've got to quickly win the ball back and then get forward again. And if you're not doing that, it's a little bit harder for all the other pieces to click.
Jason, I had a friend ask me to ask you the next time we talk to you about your thoughts on what's going on with the goal and how we feeling about that goal position on this team moving forward.
Oh, goalkeeper?
Yes.
You know, look, Brad Kazan had an amazing end of the season last year. I think you could put the whole season for him up as potentially his best one here in Atlanta. So I know the age is going to get a lot of people worked up and say, oh, you got to go ahead and replace him now. I don't think you do. And I think, as we talked about a lot last year, his leadership is so vital for this group.
Right.
You know, you need, especially when your captain's a goalkeeper, you do need other voices on the field. You need other leaders. I think you have that with Mateusz Klich joining the group, Bartosz Szlich becoming more comfortable to be that guy. I think you have that, but in the locker room, in representing what this club is, representing the club in the community, all the different elements of being a captain, Brad Kazan is essential. And when I look at Brad versus the other goalkeepers on the roster right now, and Josh Cohen and Jaden Hibbert, I think the communication level is dramatically different. And watching them in training, seeing them in games over these past couple of seasons, Brad Kazan makes the defenders around him better because he's constantly talking and telling them, hey, check your shoulder. Hey, guy running behind you. Hey, drop. All the things that a goalkeeper's got to do. And he does that at a world-class level in keeping his group organized. And that makes it a little bit easier at times. You don't give up as many, you know, big chances. You don't have to make as many big saves if you keep the group in front of you organized and they defend really well. And I think he's so important at that.
Fantastic, fantastic. Jason, we appreciate, as always, you spending some time with us, because it is, you know, game day coming up later on today. We're in Birmingham. And, gosh, you know, seems like the season's going to be here, because after this, then we go to IMG Academy, right?
Yeah, they go to IMG Academy for three games down there and then back for one more behind closed doors the week before the season opener. That's on the 15th. That game will be on 92.9 The Game. The ones that in Bradenton, the one today, won't be. Today you can watch on atlutd.com/live. Mike and I will have the call. And then fingers crossed for streams from the games down in Bradenton. Just stay tuned. Make sure you're following me at Longshoe on social, and I'll keep you posted.
Look at this.
There we go. There we go.
Yeah, buddy.
He's got
all
it
right,
all.
Man. So we may not talk to him next week. So while we got him here, before we let him go, who's your pick for the game next week?
It's really hard to pick against the Chiefs, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean,
yep.
It's funny how they have become like a team that everybody wants to hate now because they've just been so good. And we're coming up with all these different storylines about why we don't like them now. And, you know, they're the best team that we've seen in a long time. I mean, maybe, and Sam, I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. Like, maybe the best team. The best quarterback.
Well, we can't have them give you those thoughts because we're up.
You're just dismissing it completely.
No. I'm saying dismiss it because we're up against it. Because he'll do a deep dive into it. And we got, you know, it's 15, okay, 34, no, 55 around here. So we got to get on out. We just wanted to know what you thought. Because, listen, I could also get into this whole comparison that's been going on, because people got to fill time with Patrick Mahomes' career versus Jordan's career, which I think is incredibly unfair, not because he's just not there yet. Jordan had 7 years before he started winning. And Patrick came out of, he came out of the egg winning. So I think it's a different comparison.
Yeah, different.
It's him. If you're going to compare him to somebody, which I still think he loses, is Magic Johnson. That's the dude who did 4 years in a row.
That's a good comparison.
Yeah, 4 years in a row, nobody's topped what Magic Johnson has done. High school, college, and a pro championship.
Yeah.
In 4 year span.
We could write a narrative on that one and come up with a screenplay for sure.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, Jason, as always, man, we appreciate it. What you do for the show and your calls on the games and just, you know, and your education of me.
Safe travels on I-20.
Will do. Appreciate it.
All right, there you go. Jason Longshore. Ah, Sam, Greg, we are going to wrap things up, turn things over to Chris Thomas, top of the hour. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and take us with you on the Odyssey app. You remember where you were February 1st, 1982? Late night? This is when it started.
Okay.
Got fired from his first show. Daytime Letterman.
Yeah.
That was, this was the day that Late Night with David Letterman started. On NBC, not the CBS version that he took over in 93. This is from 82. So anyway. and the first guest being Bill Murray. So anyway, threw that out there. Insignificant information on this February 1st. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. We had a lot of little kind of side deals going on here during the show. We were trying to come up with famous sports phrases.
Right.
We were trying to come up with guys who left and came back. And by the way, could that have possibly been a little sexist? Because has there been a WNBA player from the Dream that left and came back?
I can't think of one.
Okay. Noelle's shaking her head. So I'm just saying we threw it at us all men.
I thought about that as well.
Okay. So we had that, that going on, and just it's been a fun Saturday, it really has. I've quite enjoyed our little back and forth here. By the way, that whole thing started as far as the sports phrases because Marshawn Lynch is in this movie called Love Hurts, and for a guy who didn't want to say two words when he was playing, he's now making movie and got 17 credits.
Man,
making me real, and he got five in the pipe. So I'm a little bit jealous of that.
He's keeping busy.
He is. He is keeping busy. The other thing I was going to ask you about, and it had to do with when we were talking NASCAR and that place out Bowman.
Bowman Gray. Mm-hmm.
I looked at the picture of this place, and I don't know how they stay on the track or what kind of tires are you. Because it is, like you said, like, was it Martinsville?
Yeah, like Martinsville.
It's flat, and I don't know how fast can they be going? They can't be going that fast.
No. They can't, but it's going to be that kind of test. You couldn't go that fast in L.A., you know, you really couldn't. You couldn't go that fast out of Los Angeles.
But it was the spectacle of being in the Coliseum.
That's the thing.
That was part of it.
And this, the spectacle, is being on a track that size and being in the location where you are. You know, being in the place that brings you back. And NASCAR's endeavored to do that a little bit. You know, as they've expanded the schedule, the Chicago street race, more road course layout type races, not just the same cookie cutter tracks each and every week. And so now they've, you know, in the last couple of years, they've gone back to North Wilkesboro for the All-Star race. And so now they're going to Bowman Gray, just giving something back to the old school fan and say, well, it used to be this regional event.
Uh-huh.
And so it's far from being that again, as they explore opportunities to race both north and south of the border. So it's not going to be that again. But to give people a taste of that, give the drivers a taste of that, I had a chance to talk with Ty Gibbs this week. Uh-huh. And, of course, we know who his grandfather is. And we talked a little football. And obviously, he's been paying attention to the Commanders. It's as big with his family. He said, I really enjoyed that. It would have been nice to see him get there. I said, maybe they get there next year. But he has never seen this place. Most of the drivers, unless they drove some modifieds at some point on their way up on the ascending.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
They've never even seen this place. They've seen pictures of it. You know, I don't think there were ever any races even televised from this place. 71, NASCAR wasn't televised every week.
Now, they changed the track a little bit out in the Coliseum when they knew they were going to have this race. Did they do something to this location?
No, this track is always here.
They didn't repave it after last year. They
going to probably done some resurfacing. Beverly Dean, some things like that. The walls, they've gone in and reinforced the walls around the track. They're doing that. They're going to bring in some extra lighting. Obviously, for television purposes, it's going to be a nighttime race.
Uh-huh.
So they're going to do that. But, I mean, they have lights in the place because they play football there during the fall. So it's one of those unique places. You get off the exit and maybe you'll have a little sweet smell of tobacco being cured. R.J. Reynolds is right down the road.
I've never, ever, ever experience that.
Yep.
I've been through North Carolina, I've been to Charlotte, but that area that you're talking about where when you get out of car certain cities, it's got a certain sort of aroma to it.
Yep. And that's if you're in Winston-Salem, if they got that going on over at R.J. Reynolds, you can smell it. You can smell it in the air. This sweet tobacco smell.
Really? Is it like a time of day when they're doing whatever they're doing in the factories or whatever they got up there?
I would smell it there in the evenings. If I was over there for a minor league baseball game at Ernie Shore Field, a minor league baseball game, in the evening, you would smell it in the evening over there.
Okay.
So, you know, like I said, it's just something else that fans will get to experience when they go there. But the drivers, like I said, they've never been to this place. And how do you set up? How do you prepare your car for this? You can say, okay, it looks a little bit like Martinsville, so maybe you take the car that you usually drive at Martinsville and try to set it up like you would from, and see if you get the same results. That's what I'm guessing.
I had two places like that growing up. One was when I worked downtown, I used to have to drive into the city, and where I parked was near the Wonder Bread Factory. Mm-hmm. And this is like 6 o'clock in the morning, you get there, and there's, you can't describe fresh baked bread. And yeah. on that scale, that was one smell. But then there was another one I couldn't stand, would give me a headache. They had the Ferrera Candy Company.
Okay.
Home building factory, whatever. It was right there on the corner of Harlem Avenue and the Eisenhower Expressway out on the west side.
Okay.
And I would jump on the Eisenhower to go either in toward the city or keep going out west. But in the morning, they would make, they had lemon heads, which I love, but the smell that would get me would be Red Hots. I'm not a fan of Red Hots, man. Okay. And that smell would be in that tight, like for a mile region, you would smell Red Hots. And it would give me a headache. And there's people who love, it's like licorice.
Yeah.
People who love black licorice love it. You either do or you don't.
Right.
It's one of them things, man.
And maybe you get some, man. You know what, the thing you want, also, if you go to Winston-Salem, you want to see if the light's on. That's the home of Krispy Kreme.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They got a bigger one than the one over on Ponce?
I'm trying to remember what the one looked like. I remember seeing in downtown Winston-Salem. It's pretty big, but that's the home.
I didn't know it was the home of.
Home of Krispy Kreme.
Again, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9.
I'm sure the light will probably stay on all weekend with all those people in town, right?
What do you call the child of your nephew? You have a nephew. They get married and have a baby. And so is that still a nephew or is it your great nephew? Great nephew?
Yeah.
Okay. It is my great nephew's birthday today.
Okay.
Nephew Colin, who's a hockey player, plays goalie. But his son Weston is 2 years old today.
Okay.
And so I told him I'd give him a shout out. So happy birthday, Weston. And they're having a whoop-de-doo over there. I'm not going to make it.
You're not going to make it?
No, I'm not going to make it. I got things to do. I got studying to do. I'm studying for the bar these days.
Yes, you are.
We'll talk about that
very
in a
much
couple
you
weeks.
Are.
We will talk about that in a couple weeks. But I'm home, and I just go down to my little hole there, and Jesse stays with me sometimes and not. I did want to do this before we turn things over to Chris Thomas, top of the hour. And mm-hmm. I don't know if you had a shout-out or two to mention before we leave here, but I'm speculating on this.
Speculation.
As we were talking to D-Led, and I brought up the question about things that he has seen at the Senior Bowl or did see while he was there, and how the NFL has finally come back around in using the running back in a way that they kind of got away from mm-hmm. for a while. Mm-hmm. Is it fair to say that this is the end effect of Michael Vick? Meaning when Michael Vick came into the league and he changed the quarterback position or at least brought it to this nuclear level where it was all about running, not everybody could do what Michael Vick did. But there were a few guys who kind of came in, and some teams tried that, but those guys get beat up, you know. So what it did, though, show the up-and-coming quarterbacks is you got to have a skill set of both. You got to be able to stay in the pocket at times, but if you can run, that keeps the defense on their heels. So sort of a hybrid of what Michael Vick did is what we see today. Everybody from Jalen Hurts when he's healthy Jaden Daniels and everybody else. All the guys are a form of Michael Vick, but they're also being able to stay in the pocket. They're being able to throw. And so my question was, they're now coming back because of RPOs, and we have kind of a hybrid Michael Vick, and these guys are now in a pipeline coming through college. But I believe it all sort of started with when he got to the league, and they realized, we can't keep doing this because this quarterback keeps getting injured. RG3, people like that, you know, there's sleight of frame, but just quick as a comet. But let's see if we can tweak it a little bit. And then, you know, RPOs are introduced and so on and so forth. And so now the Derrick Henrys and the Saquon Barkleys and running backs like that are benefiting from just the knowledge that that quarterback could take off. And he's, in some cases, the fastest dude on the field.
Right.
Would you say that's a fair statement?
I would think so. And we prepare ourselves to see more of that, you know, when the playbook opens up more, you know, for Michael Penix Jr. here because mm-hmm. because of Bijan Robinson and obviously his versatility. So, yeah, we're seeing a bit of a rebirth in running back position.
And those coordinators that know how to utilize that.
Yeah.
Not the old guys who don't want to move off their hill, You get some young guys who maybe started doing it in college or whatever. They're going to be the sought-after coordinators and possible future head coaches.
Yeah, you got that running back. You got a guys like the size of Robinson and the size of Barkley. And then you got the guys like Kamara, you know, mm-hmm. who is just those versatile guys that, you know, you can get the ball to them in a number of different ways. You know, once again, that's a quarterback's best friend, to have that guy that you can get to, and he can still move the chains and do some things and be explosive.
Right.
You know, if you've got that running back who can a quarterback who can also do it. All yep. Right.
So you have a message for our listeners who want to participate in tomorrow's show, that a new feature that we have coming up.
Yeah, coming up tomorrow, we're going to start something new on Sundays. We're going to do three cheers and three jeers. What are three things that you thought were great this week? Three things you thought were really good things, or three things that, you know what, just made you just grit your teeth, you know, you grind yeah. your teeth or whatever, and three things. So three cheers, three jeers during the course of a week. Sometimes we may do it with a certain game, probably like after Super Bowl Sunday. We may say, okay, we're looking back at the Super Bowl. Three things that you liked about the Super Bowl, three things you didn't like about the Super Bowl, even the three cheers, that's next week. But for this week, just the week in general, and we've had a number of things that have happened in sports, but especially around here, that would give us reason to cheer, and some that would give us, you know. So, I mean, I've got my list, and I'm going to reveal them tomorrow morning. So I hope you'll be with us tomorrow morning.
To
reveal them.
I mean, I'm going to get killed. I better say Sarah is Colin's wife. I left her name.
Don't do that.
No, I'm sorry, y'all. All right.
That's a good way to get in trouble, man.
Tracy's going over there, and she goes, oh, Colin, you got a shout-out. And Sarah's going to look at the bottom lip out and call me a name.
Yeah.
So we're going to make sure, because she's doing all the work. she's doing all the work over there. Listen, man, you got a big day planned?
Yep. I think I'm going to go to an event tonight. If I do, I'll let you know and send you some pictures.
We're talking about a suit and tie?
There's a little something.
You're going to be smooth
happening.
As a gravy sandwich?
I'll send you some pictures.
Noel, thank you for everything. Last thoughts, if you want to come on here and join us, what have we missed? What have we not? And if she doesn't, that means we did pretty good there. But I know there was some.
And are you getting a pair of them Deion Sanders shoes? Or did they already sell out all of them?
They are sold out. And
what?
They did me a disservice by not putting them in grade school, so I'm going to have to hunt them down. But yes, the 49ers fans, because they think it represents their team, bought up all the Deion Sanders shoes. And now you got to wait on the black and gold pair.
Really?
That's the next pair up.
When you talk shoes, you know, there's only one person to go to.
So they did a re-release of this shoe, right?
Yes. So he has, I think, three official models with Nike. They've been doing the second model a lot, the one that kind of looks like a T-Rex slash the side of the shoe.
Right,
yeah, that's the second model. And the one they just released is the first model, which is why he has the Falcons moniker, because he had them here before he left.
Who gets the next shoe in the WNBA? We got the first one last year, right?
Not the first one, but we got a really big one. It's only a handful of people, like
Sabrina
Ionescu and Breonna Stewart. We haven't seen Asia Wilson's yet.
And we haven't seen Caitlin's, right.
But okay. I'm waiting on the Ryan Howard Jordans. That's what I'm waiting on.
And when are those coming?
I don't know. You gotta signing people like Breonna Jones and Brittany Garner goes a long way to making that happen.
Okay.
Gets that visibility.
Right.
Happy birthdays go out to Big Boy.
Okay.
Hey,
on this
that is
day.
Right.
Happy 38th birthday, Ronda Rousey.
Okay.
Today. Harry Styles, 31. Jazz Chisholm. I love that. I know he's kind of a screwball, but I love me some Jazz Chisholm. His birthday today. Would have been Lisa Marie. Listen, these two people born on the same day. Lisa Marie Presley and Pauly Shore.
Really?
Literally the same. Yeah. Same day, 68. Would have been Rick James' birthday today.
Really? Okay.
Would have been George Jefferson's birthday today. Sherman Hemsley.
Sherman Hemsley.
Yeah, would have been his birthday today. Garrett
Weezy!
Garrett Morris. And now she here, Scarlett. Clark Gable would have been celebrating a birthday today. That's it. Would have been his birthday today. And on this day, we lost Don Cornelius and a year ago, Carl Weathers.
Oh, man.
Apollo Creed.
Yeah.
Everybody, thank you for letting Sam and I be a part of your Saturday mornings. We'll be back with you tomorrow morning. Have yourself a wonderful day. Remember, if you can't get in front of a TV, we have got Hawks at Indiana. Pregame at 4:30, tip at 5 o'clock. We will talk to you tomorrow morning. Mr. Crenshaw?
Let's break this tailspin. Let's get a win.
Please. Chris Thomas is up next. Thank y'all. This is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Take us with you in the Odyssey app.